It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Show is brought to you by UJ Chevrolet, serving Mobile since 1939. Alabama Pipe and Supply and Ed's Seafood Shed. But,
I can't say fantabulous because it's not there.
A little crispy
all of
right
it.
Now, but it's a,
yeah, it's a little crispy
little right well
now.
Done. Yeah,
like
so.
It's too well done, but they are scraping the bark off of it as we speak so that they can bring it back bigger and better.
Yeah, they did have, they were talking about it on, I think I was listening, it may have been 106.5 I was listening to them the other day, talking to them, and They're, yeah, headed back together with it. So it's working on things. You know,
they've got that going, and they're still putting together their pasta restaurant with Panini Pizza in Fairhope and Squid Ink. I had the pleasure going down there. I think it was Friday, Saturday. And, hey, what a fine meal! The adult beverages were cold. Enjoyable. Service was fantabulous.
There you go.
And Sunset Point will be my next place to hit. I want to get out on that back porch and that back eating area out there and watch the sun go down and get the big bell ringing deal going.
There you go.
Sunset Point bell ringing. Ding, ding. Yeah.
But, you know, it is to be back bigger and better. Bigger, better, badder. So,
yeah, they'll have a lot more room. Yeah,
they'll have more room. Everything will be new, fresh, and I'm sure the menu will be the same and added too.
But bigger and better.
Bigger and better. So, anyway, we do have a caller online. Caller, are you with us? Hello.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey, I got a question to ask you. I don't know if you're going to hurt my feelings or not, but I'm going to do it anyway. I've had a Ford F-150, a 2016. And the motor's been rebuilt four times since
what?
I got it through with Ford. And now I got 95,000 miles on it, and it did it again, and Ford doesn't want to help.
Oh.
They told me where to go. And a mechanic is telling me I need a new motor.
Right.
It's going to be the best scenario versus going in there and redoing that timing chain. Is he right or wrong?
Yeah. What year did you say? 16 miles?
16.
Yeah.
What caused all this stuff?
Which motor is it?
It's an E-Tech, the 2.7 EcoBoost.
Yeah. So it's a small turbo, twin turbo motor.
Yeah.
You know, have they said what's created all this engine problems?
Yeah, they said it keeps jumping timing.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't really know that they had that big a problem with the timing chains, but, you know, and when you say rebuild, are they going in and putting timing chains in it, or are they going in and actually?
Four times in a row, Ford took it all the way down to the bottom crank and put a new timing chain and all that stuff in there, and I'm right back in the same spot.
Right. You know, of course, I know it's out of warranty, I'm sure.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. You know, that just seems like it's awful soon to have had four sets of timing chains and 100,000 miles.
Something's wrong.
How often were you changing oil in it?
Every 3,000.
Yeah.
Never missed oil change.
Yeah.
The first time they rebuilt it was at 43,000. Then at 48,000, they had to do it again. And then at 60-something thousand. And then here we are in the fourth time now.
Right. And when you say Ford told you to get lost, are you talking about the local dealer or have you been?
The local dealer and the corporation said that we're sorry, we've done all we can do for you.
Yeah. See, I don't know about that. And, you know, I'm never one to take things to, you know, legal matters or any of that kind of stuff. But, you know, if I have documentation that shows that I've been changing my oil and basically four times in the last 50,000 miles, you know, time and change fail. You know, how long ago did they do it the last time?
Well, it was almost 70,000 miles when the last time Ford over there in Florida did it.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's the warranty. It did it again.
Right, right. Yeah, I don't know what to tell you on that one. You know, honestly, we just put a motor 2.7 in one there at shop. It had a lower end rattle. It wasn't a timing chain issue that we took in on trade. But, we put a used motor in it, and everything was fine.
I don't want to spurge Ford because the loaner car that the company gave me to rebuild it, it's got 255,000 on it, and it's still running like a charm. In fact, it ran better than the truck I got. But let me ask you one more thing. I'll let y'all go.
Yeah.
What was I going to ask you? Oh, yeah. Do you think that I should keep it or trade it in as soon as it's done?
You know, if I had that much problems with one particular vehicle, it'd be gone.
It'd be gone.
You know.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. But thank you for calling in. But, you know, it's you can't say normal at that point.
No, because it
should never fail that.
No. If he's done the same blocks and heads and all, and it's they just replaced everything on the front end, and as you said, they did pull it down to the crank and all before, but it would make me think we've got a tolerance or something is not measuring right.
Well, either something's not oiling properly.
That's right.
You know, if the timing chains fail that often, either something's not oiling properly, there's a clearance issue, it's not put on properly, something is wrong causing this to happen.
That's not normal.
Frequent. Yeah.
That's not normal either. I just pulled up while you were talking to him. I pulled up on my phone there and said, I'd see what the expectations of mileage on it was. And they said 200,000 to 250,000 miles, you know.
Right.
And they say that's what they're getting on some. So, if the second time, I'd been wanting them to put another block in my motor.
Right.
You know,
right.
There's something wrong somewhere with the clearances, tolerances, and or the oiling situation.
Right. I mean, if it is timing chains that are failing, I would have to assume that, you know, it has a very small oiling passages that squirt oil at the timing chain on all timing chain motors.
Right.
They do it in different ways, but all of them are going to get oil put on the chain.
Well, if they don't, they won't live.
Right. And, you know, something there has to be clogged up. And you wouldn't expect that if you got a motor that you've been changing oil on every 3,000 miles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Look, I did my part.
Right. You know, right.
I changed oil. I didn't run it hot. I didn't. Yeah. Didn't run.
Let me ask you a country boy's question here. Is there some way to pressurize that oiling system without it being running and see if the oiling passages are open?
Not really, because, you know, what you've got is you've got a oil pump that's driven off the crankshaft, so there's no way. It's not like an older motor where you can pull a distributor out.
Right, okay.
And spin it.
Yeah, you couldn't get enough RPMs on it.
Well, I mean, you can't because the thing is, it's a Garroder style pump that's bolted to the front of the crankshaft, and the only way to spin it is by spinning the crankshaft.
Oh my goodness!
So,
okay, yeah,
you know, and you can crank one up with a timing cover off of it, maybe.
Yeah,
depending on the setup with sensors, but if you did, you wouldn't like it.
Cause, no,
I mean, it's gonna sling. Oh, it's going to sling.
You'd have to wear a raincoat with goggles.
Years ago, I had a small block Chevrolet I built, and I was having some oiling problems and trying to figure out where it was bypassing oil. So I set it up. I
fired that sucker up, didn't you?
Well, I set me up a little pickup to where I could suck oil up into the oil pump and oil it, and then just let it pour out wherever it was pouring out from.
Yeah.
And it slung so much oil, I couldn't see where the hell it was going. So, I mean, that was a good idea.
Oh, well,
it just didn't work.
Yeah. That's where I was going with my deal. Yeah. I mean, it looks like you could pressurize, do something to pressurize that oiling system to see if the minute passages that's supposed to be passing oil to those chains and all are there.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, you think, if they lasted 30,000 miles on all four occasions, they're getting some oil.
Yeah. You know, they had to be getting some oil, but it wasn't, it obviously isn't enough, or there's something wrong there. But, Well, you know, that'd have been a touchy thing getting into a warranty.
Oh, yeah.
Questions, you know. Typically, you know, like I know General Motors, and I can speak for them because I worked there, but, you know, in a GM dealership, and our parts warranty is 2 years. So if I fix something, it's warranty for 2 years.
Right.
Yeah. Mileage doesn't matter. It's 2 years. Yeah. So that component, now it doesn't mean the whole motor is.
Right.
It's just that component. But, you know, for that to fail like that, you know, at least by the second time while it was still under warranty,
right?
You know, something would have been happening.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah.
I'd have been having them do something else.
Yeah, you know, oh yeah. But yeah, like that would I just put parts on it, and put it back, button it back
yeah,
up,
keep,
put it back
keep
on
buttoning
the
it up. Yeah, but you know, we're going. It looks like it's time for us to take a break. We're going to take a break. And let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be
back. Like putting you know lipstick on a pig.
Tell a man down at the bank took her from me. Oh, she was hotter than a $2 pistol. She was the fastest thing around. Long and lean, every young man's dream. She turned every head in town. She was built and fun to handle, son. I'm glad that you...
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
Well, I left Kentucky back in 49 and went to Detroit working on assembly line. The first year they had me putting wheels on Cadillacs.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Remco along with Tom Claxton. Any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But we kind of... You know, talking about time and chains and that on motors and
right,
and kind of got off on the maintenance and just want to run across this past week was a work van that had some motor, you know, had check engine light and they had oil pressure problems and
just a Chevrolet.
Yeah, but it's 46,000 miles on it.
Ooh,
and. Got to doing some checking and all that. It had been 26,000 miles since it had been changed.
Oh, shut your mouth.
So, of course, when you go, now it's not knocking.
Yeah. Yeah.
But the problem you run into is these more modern motors, you know, we were able to change the oil. And we changed it a couple times trying to flush everything out. And the motor sounds fine. It actually seems to run fairly decent. But the problem you have is it has a variable oil pressure control where it has a switching valve that basically changes the oil pressure once the motor goes over a certain
mm-hmm.
RPM.
Mm-hmm.
You've got your timing control in the time in advance for the camshaft.
That's oil pressure control,
and that's
too.
All oil pressure control.
Right.
And those systems are not working anymore.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And the problem you get into is, you know, okay, now I know – that first off, it's not going to be warranty because maintenance.
Well, that's what I was going to say. You can't warranty that.
And even though I know for a fact it had synthetic oil in it, it went 26,000 miles between changes, so it missed 5 oil changes.
Right.
Yeah. You know, it's still gummed up. You know, it stuff looked like pudding coming out.
Oh, it did. It did do that.
Oh, yeah. Just like any other kind of oil.
So it'd be just it appeared just like the regular mineral base oil does.
Yeah, yeah.
The old timey oil as we knew it.
Yep. You know, oil is oil.
Right.
Change your oil.
you know, and there you go too. That was a truck. Yeah. That's the mileage and the driving on that vehicle. I mean, it was probably hauling stuff with it. Why would you have a van?
It's a work van.
It's a work van.
It's not going working all the time.
Yeah,
yeah.
That vehicle, it's just you got to take care of it. Period.
Well, it falls under that extreme use category anyway.
Right.
Because it's in town, it's loaded down,
mm-hmm.
it never is running around without a load.
It's abused.
So,
yeah,
it's abused. And, you know, I don't.
That's not running down the street to the grocery store type.
Right, right. And, you know, it's not necessarily abused, but it's working itself hard. You know, it's,
well,
it's,
the oil's
it's
being abused. Yeah, the oil's being abused.
Yeah, so it's, you know, it's not that they're running it hard or doing that kind of stuff. They're just driving it normal, but the problem is it's loaded down and it's in traffic and it's doing all those things. That falls under that severe duty service in your owner's manual, which means that it needs to be done more often, not less.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know.
Mm-mm. That ain't cheap.
No, and it's really going to need a motor.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you can't. You know, there's no way to rebuild it.
Well, I don't feel comfortable going in and trying to fix components.
No.
In a motor that I know is gummed up inside.
Right. Well, the block and all the oil. And here you go again.
All the passages.
The oil passages and all we were just talking about a while ago are going to be clogged up with that residue and that funk and gunk from the carbon buildup in the oil.
Mm-hmm. So that just kind of a reminder to everybody to, you know, get your oil changed.
You know,
it's cheap insurance, and I have yet to see one fail because it got the oil changed too
early. Right,
yeah. I've been doing this a long time, and that's one failure I have not seen.
No.
As long as oil's changed, your mechanical systems usually work much better. And I know everybody's getting ready to travel, including myself. Because Wednesday will be the busiest travel day.
I hope they've already had their vehicles pre-checked for this these road trips that they're fixing to get on out there. And you're going to be on the road during the holidays. Most of those dang places out there are not going to be open.
Right.
And you're going to get stranded on the highway and you get you a $5,000 towing bill.
Yep.
It won't be $400. It'd be $5,000.
Right. Wow. Well, you know, and you know, you're kind of at the mercy of whoever you're at, you know, dealership-wise, even if it's under warranty. You know, most dealerships will, you know, try and accommodate you a little bit.
Sure they will.
You know, but if they're backed up and they got customers, you know, you can't get parts like you normally do, everything
you're stranded.
You're going to be stranded. And rental cars are not available.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep. You can't do like you did the old days. And I'm out here at mile marker 28 on the interstate. I need a car.
Right.
You know, mine just broke. Can you bring me a car?
Yep.
Or I'm going to have my record come over and pick up a car and bring it to me, and he can pick up my car and take it back.
Right. Know? So it's, you know, keep the maintenance up. Get your car checked out before you hit the road. Make sure you're checking your tires. Make sure you're checking all the fluid levels. Make sure the maintenance is done before you leave town with it. And be careful on the roads.
Right.
Stay alert. You know, be safe. There's just too many accidents on the roads these days. So it can't be better when you put more people out there. Kind of like I was telling somebody the other day when they were talking about making the – just restriping the bayway when they go to make it wider in three lanes.
Oh, my God.
It's like
– I don't even want to think about that.
It's like, you know what? They can't drive down it too wide right now.
Right.
What's going to happen when they're trying to do it in the same space three wide?
Oh, yeah. Hey, you know what? If you blow a tire – there's no lane to pull off in.
Yeah. We're going to pull off into the bay.
You know? That's when you get that 28-car pileup on the bayway.
Right.
Eastbound.
Right. Yeah. So that's going to be interesting. But anyway, that just saying, everybody be careful, be safe. Because it's going to be an interesting ride. Hopefully I have an uneventful ride headed towards Houston. But there again, I do have to go through Baton Rouge.
So, oh, my God, yes.
Yeah. I guess I could run around it, but that'd take a lot longer too. So we're gonna try and we're gonna try it. But as soon as I can get out of there,
well, big boy, head that be direction. Careful. Okay.
Oh yeah.
You know how to drive. You're a race car driver, and you know I've been watching you drive since you was 14, 15 when you wasn't supposed to be driving. But anyway,
well, they frown on me driving on the highways like I did on the racetrack. So
they do.
Yeah,
everybody that drives with me says, how many years did you drive a car? I said, I didn't drive them. I just like to build them and look at them and watch them run. You know, hammer down.
Yeah. Well, when you start moving people out of the way on the interstate, they get a little ticked off.
Just a little. You mean touch a bumper here and there?
Yeah, touch a bumper here or there and you move somebody out of the way.
But, baby.
You know, do a little drafting.
Rubbing is racing,
like
baby.
They don't like it. So.
Rubbing is racing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, y'all went to Pensacola. You getting ready for a big race or something or what?
We did. We got Snowball Derby coming up here in 2 weeks.
Okay.
So that's the big race of the year. It's they've already got in our class, the Outlaw class, there was 38 or 9 cars registered.
Oh, my Lord.
And there'll be 10 cars at least that weren't registered show up. They've got over 50 cars in both of the two late model divisions.
That's 150 yeah. cars.
Well, and that's not all of them because they've
and,
got
and that's
three,
in three classes.
Yeah, they got at least three more classes. Cause they got pure stock and trucks and sportsmen's and all that.
And how many modifieds. How many they got now in the trucks?
There was over 20 in the trucks in the.
You could feasibly say they got over 200 vehicles.
Oh, easily.
And then we're seeing tracks worry about 40 and having 40 and 50 vehicles for a big race, and they're happy.
Yeah.
You want to see the world's best short track race?
Yep.
Load your butt up and go to Pensacola Five Flag Speedway.
It'll be a race. Road. Yeah. But yeah, we had our practice session over there Saturday, and we had three fast hot rods with us. Jimmy Day in the pure stock, he actually broke track record and was fastest
Woo,
of the group in the
baby,
day.
The old man's pedaling fast, wasn't
yeah,
he?
Yeah, yeah. We had a legitimate shot at having the fastest in all three of the classes that we were entered
my
in.
Lord.
But we ended up second with Outlaw, and just car got in the way during our fast lap, and so it slowed us down just a tick. And the truck, we went out early in an early session. When it wasn't going to be quite as fast, and we knew that. So, you know, he still ended up third overall, but because we wanted to do some race trim practice with it, and it was extremely fast in race trim. So very happy with the results over the weekend. And there was 50-something cars there practicing total for, you know, all the divisions. So they got some cars that's going to be there. Biggest issue they're having this year is tires.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Okay.
They're limiting tires to how many you
every
can buy.
Every class.
Every class. So, which is okay with us, you know, because we're allowed up to three sets for all practice and race, and we're only going to do two. You know,
right.
We bought one this weekend, and we'll buy another set for race day. We do this on a budget. We're not one of them big money teams.
You don't have one of those million-dollar sponsors?
No. This is
you mean y'all don't go Puma racing?
No.
You know what that means, don't you?
Yeah.
Hmm? Piss your money away.
Exactly. Yeah. What you doing that anyway?
Yeah.
This, you know, it's not a money making proposition. Trust me.
Puma racing. Yeah.
We do it for a good time. We don't do it definitely don't do it to make money, because if we were stupid. But it's hard to do that. But especially on a local level. But anyway, we'll be good. We'll have a good time. And anyway, sounds like it's time for us to take a break. We're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Well, it's like a road that you travel on. There's one day here, the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to The Car Doctor Show. This is Car Doctor Kevin Raywinkle along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. But I see you got some stuff there on some of the electric vehicles we're talking about a little while ago.
And a lot of people probably saw this same article in the paper over the weekend, but it
looks like – let's get our caller out of the way.
Oh, yeah, dude, let's do that. Okay.
Caller, you with us? Hello?
Hello?
Hey.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, we're good. How are you?
Good. How do you know when a turbocharge is going out of your car?
05
Volvo XC90.
Yeah, the biggest indicator is if it's just dumping oil and smoke out of the tailpipe. That would be oil seals.
Okay.
And then other issues would be low boost, because it's just not spinning up like it should.
Okay.
What kind of problem are you having?
I can tell when I get on it, I can hear just a little rattling in it.
Yeah.
I can be outside and, you know, lift the hood and pull the throttle back from the hood, and you can hear it rattling inside the turbocharger.
Yeah, if it's rattling, it's got to be touching the housing. Uh-huh. You can look up in there. You know, of course, shut off. You don't want to stick your fingers in it with it running.
Oh, no.
But look up in there while it's turned off, and you can see the intake side. You can't see the exhaust side unless you take it apart. But
okay.
On the intake side, see if it shows signs that that blade has touched the housing at all.
Real, real shiny spots.
Yeah.
It has right at about 300,002 miles on. Do you think I ought to just go ahead and replace it?
You know, it's... You know, it's an expensive part to just replace because we're guessing at it. But, you know, if it is rattling and you know it is coming from there.
It's not loud, but you can actually hear it.
Yeah. You're better off replacing it before it fails because you don't want it to fail and put oil through the intake system and through the exhaust
metal.
System and metal pieces through.
Right. The metal kill it.
So I would look at it and see.
Is that something Kevin can do?
Yeah, the Volvo shop. I mean, they.
Who would y'all recommend? This is the first time, y'all, that I ever had anything wrong with it. The only thing I changed it was the battery twice since I had it.
Yep.
Since I bought it brand new. Yeah.
They're good cars. I'm not gonna say they're not for sure. But
who would y'all recommend?
Couple friends of mine have a shop down on Highway 90. And Tom doesn't know this, but Kevin I think is already retired.
Really?
He's given up and gone home, but Wayne is still down there working every day.
At that Volvo shop down there on 90?
Yeah, right. The Swedish
Auto
Tech.
I know exactly where it's at. When I'm coming from Timber's Corner, it'll be on my left.
Yep. So,
okay. Y'all recommend him.
Yeah, they're good people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I thank y'all so much for answering my question.
Okay. All right.
Thank y'all.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Bye.
Well, Kevin's retired.
Yeah, Kevin's gave it up. He's
okay.
I mean, it must be nice, but...
His boss hadn't given it up, though, has he?
No.
What's his name?
Well, Wayne.
Wayne, he's old Jarhead Marine.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like me some Wayne. He's good. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy, and they were partners in it. They opened it up together, and you know, but Kevin's had some health issues over the last few years, and so I think he's finally given up.
He's a good guy. I like him. He's a good guy, too.
I graduated with Kevin, went to school, and we played and raced and
all
that stuff.
And he's retiring,
together.
And you're not retiring?
I don't know how this is working out, but he must have maybe married a rich woman or something. I don't know. But
maybe he hit the lotto.
He tried a couple times, so he may have finally found
him.
Oh,
he might have found him a rich one. Okay. There you go. Yeah.
He may have found him a rich one. Never know. But anyway, it's they're good people. Been there, they've been down there almost 30 years.
Yeah, they've been there 30 years.
Yeah, at least 20.
Well, they've been there maybe 40 because they were there. It seemed like they were. I closed in 02.
I still had I was working at Bay Chevrolet at that time, so somewhere in the early 90s.
Okay, yeah. So that's good. So that's over 30 years.
It's pushing 30. Okay. It's pushing 30. So they've been around a while. Yeah. So
they got time in grade.
Oh yeah. So, but I think you're looking at some statements they're making about what it costs a fuel and electric.
And it's kind of been baffling to me since all of this stuff started, and I had nothing to hang my hat on as far as what the hell does it cost to drive these cars and all, you know? And this thing, this is not the Bible. This is not probably the 100% truth, but this is just some of the areas that they talked about on here, and it's you know, like the first line says, would you like to pay $2 a gallon or less for gas? Says if you drove an electric car, that's the equivalent of what you would pay for the electricity to charge the battery. You know, but then they go on to say, well, $2 a gallon equivalent sounds nice. It's more impressive when you look at the lifetime savings over the anticipated 15-year lifespan of a vehicle. The electricity to run an electric vehicle can be as much as $14,480 cheaper than fueling gas-powered cars.
Right.
You know, but then it's talking about recharging costs for EVs are based on many variables, and we're going to find that. That's going to be state to state, city to city.
Well, and that's, I mean, we were talking about this. California.
Yeah.
We're talking about California dollars, which is way different than the Alabama dollars.
Right.
But,
I don't know why is that. They you know, they're the same ones, you know. Got the same green on them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, he says, buy a charging station and have an electrician install it cost about $1,200, mm-hmm. according to the home remodeling website Fixer. He's saying here that he spent $500 for his charger, but he's been using it for over 6 years. So, you know, it's probably doubled in price since then.
Mm-hmm.
Since electricity costs more during peak evening hours.
Right.
See, that's another area that we have to consider is what time of the day are you going to charge this vehicle?
Well, and most of the more modern chargers, you can plug them up and have them charge at a certain time. So you can have it do it in off-peak hours.
EV owners set a timer to begin charging late at night.
Yeah.
You know? Using these reduced rates, a Nissan Leaf with 150-mile range would cost about $7 to fully charge it, according to the California Air Research Board.
Right, right. So,
You got a caller?
Yeah, we do have a caller. Let's go ahead and take care of the caller. Caller, you with us?
Hey, guys. It's Jarhead.
Hey, Jarhead. How you doing, buddy?
Ooh-rah.
Hey, how y'all doing? Tom, I didn't get to call you and tell you earlier, happy Veterans Day.
All right. Buddy, we had a blast there tonight at the convention center. We had 390 Jarheads down there and their guests.
Oh, Lord.
And their guests.
That's enough to take on anybody. Woo! It's a small country, ain't it?
And they were, and the convention center was worried about security. I said, do what?
And the convention center is still standing?
Oh, yeah.
Hey,
security? Come on.
About these motors getting gummed up because they weren't getting their oil changed properly.
Right,
but
right.
I had a question I wanted to ask you. I'm getting ready to change the oil on my F-150.
Uh-huh.
And I want to know what your opinion is on seafoam. You're supposed to put this stuff in there about 100 before you do your oil change. And it's supposed to get all the gunk out of it. Now, I want to know what you guys think about that stuff.
I'm not a fan of oil flush. First off, if you change oil when you're supposed to, you don't need it.
You don't need oil flush.
Okay.
Right.
If you're having to flush it out of there, then you're breaking all that stuff loose. And you're putting it through all the oil passages and all the little bitty ports and all your actuators. If it's a more modern motor with all the cam actuators and all that kind of stuff, you're taking a chance of sending that stuff through some things that you may not want to.
It's a 2012.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many miles?
A little over 120.
Yeah. Okay. You've been changing your oil on a regular basis?
Oh, yeah. Take care of it like I'm supposed to.
Okay.
Right. Yeah,
okay.
He's
you know, if you've been keeping it maintained, you don't need to worry about that stuff.
Yeah.
You know.
Now I love it. I love it for the fuel side of it, but not the oil.
Yep. You know, and it does good on the fuel side.
All the little passages and everything clean. So
right.
You know, but like I said, I just want to get your guys' take on it because I was thinking about trying it, but. I mean, if it ain't worth it, I ain't no need to do it.
Well, you know, I would have a different opinion if you had started this from day one, okay? So if every time you were going to change your oil, you added it to it from the first oil change, you're not breaking loose a bunch of stuff and sending it through.
Right.
You're just making sure that everything's in there and gets out, you know, which is kind of a different deal, yeah. But if you let it get any kind of buildup, which if you do your maintenance and you've done your maintenance with the right oil and everything, then it probably is fine anyway. So I don't know that I would open that can of worms unless I had to. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's good enough. Well, Tom, I want to tell you, I got my new leather jacket.
All right.
I got the Marine Corps emblem on the back.
Awesome.
Got U.S. Marines and Semper Fi in rockers on the back. Got my pistol badge and my expert rifle badge on the pocket.
Ooh,
and
you
got
bet.
My chevrons on the collar. So
you bet.
All I need now is a bike.
You mean you got that PFC? You got that PFC stripe on there?
Hey, Sergeant.
Oh, excuse me. Yeah, I had the chance to introduce our commandant for the Marine Corps League Saturday night at the convention, and I told him, I said, it's really cool for an old last of the buck sergeants, which was in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
I said, now I was a buck sergeant one day, and the next morning I was a corporal and I didn't even get busted, you know.
Yeah, we all know how that goes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, but it was neat to be able to introduce the Commandant of the Marine Corps for the United States. And brass, I have never seen so much brass. And golly, I think every one of those Marines has got 25 different medals.
Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy.
Yep.
All right, guys, y'all have a great day, and have a great Thanksgiving, and I'll talk with y'all later on.
Thank you, Jarhead. Bless you, brother. Hoorah. Appreciate your service.
Yep, absolutely. But, yeah, it's, you know, and I've known people in the past that, you know, would, they may would drain the oil, leave the oil in the oil filter, and pour a gallon of kerosene in it, crank it up, let it run 4 or 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah, yeah, I've heard that too.
And do that for
no
the life of the vehicle.
Yeah.
You know? And believe it or not, I tore one down that had over 300,000 miles on it, swearing it was going to be wore out completely.
Oh, yeah.
Now, the valve guys were wore out.
Right.
And that's the reason I was pulling the heads off of it. And I told the guy, I said, I don't know if I'm real enthusiastic about doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But believe it or not, when I pulled the heads off of it, still see the crosshatch and cylinders.
Really?
The motor was absolutely spotless inside.
We saw a couple of those over our 30 years of being in business and building motors back over the years. But each one of them had an immaculate record of oil changes.
Right, right. Absolutely. But it makes a difference.
It sure does.
But anyway, we're going to take a break and let you hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back.
Big wheels rolling. Got to keep them going. Big wheels rolling, moving on. The white line is the lifeline to a nation. And men like Kix and Ronnie make it move. Living like a gypsy, always on the go. Doing what they best know how to do. Jamming gears has got to be a fever. Those men become addicted to the grind.
That's right.
It takes a special breed to be a truck driving man and a steady hand to pull that load behind.
It's The Car Doctor with Kevin Raywinkle and Tom Claxton on FM Talk 106.5. Call Kevin and Tom now at 343-0106 with your car maintenance and repair questions. The doctor is in.
And welcome back to the Car Doctor Show. This is the Car Doctor, Kevin Ramick, along with Tom Claxton. If you have any questions, give us a call or send us a text, 343-0106. Text line sure has been quiet tonight.
But, sure has.
That's okay. Yep. That's okay. If y'all don't want to talk, that's all right.
There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, we were talking about electric vehicles and the true cost and some of the hidden costs and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
They don't advertise the yearly tax that you got to pay.
Right,
you
know, right. Well, see, they didn't cover any of that in here either.
Yeah. Around here, I think it's about $250 a year you pay for road tax.
An electric car? Or is that a hybrid or full electric?
No, that's on a full electric.
Full electric. Yeah.
But, you know, the one thing I'd be concerned about if I owned one, you know, because my power bill's kind of high as it is, you know, when I put gas in my car, I know how much money I got in my pocket and how much I can afford to put in my car. If I need to put you know, 2 gallons in it to get by for a couple of days till payday, I can do that. Okay.
Right.
With electric car, I don't really know how much I'm putting in there until the end of the month when they send that power bill.
I can imagine. Yes.
You know, so it's, I guess there's ways, and I'm sure there's ways to keep up with that, but, it's kind of a different deal. And yes, it is cheaper. Yeah, you know, so it's money savings, but you may get hit with a bill at one time.
Right.
Instead of, you know, a few dollars here and there as you go along, you know, which most of us have been used to doing, you know, for many years. But so I don't know. It is the future.
Right.
It's coming.
It's coming whether we like it or not.
It's coming. Yeah. So
we're gonna have to learn to absorb it and figure out a way to utilize it and still live, you know, and be able to buy groceries.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, they figured out how to – I mean, the making power with them thing is not an issue,
right.
Period.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yeah, you can make stupid horsepower with these things, and just they're crazy fast, very responsive, very smooth, very quiet, really dependable, you know, when certain companies get out there trying to do things that they're maybe not – ready for yet, you know, and giving self-driving cars and all that. It's not really ready for that yet. You know, the technology is there, but you can't let it be at this point. It's not advanced enough to just, okay, set a button and tell it to take me to Houston and go take a nap.
No, you can't. You
still got to pay attention. You got to look at it.
Well, you know, and I noticed a deal the other day. And I was talking to you about it on the air, and I was like, okay, how does a damn car read where they at on the road? So I think the explanation you gave me was the computer cameras that it has on board would take a position, a location off of the lines on the right and left-hand side of the car.
Right.
So I'm noticing now that if you have a four-lane road, the right side is always white.
Mm-hmm.
The left side, if you've got two lanes in that road, is always going to be yellow.
Yeah. Yep.
So the car is kind of picking it up. That's not two white lines, you know.
Right.
But then I thought, I was going up University, and I came to Airport Boulevard. Well, if I was going to turn right on Airport, they don't have any lines on that.
Right.
So, right. Then the driver's got to take over.
Yeah.
Because the car wouldn't know where to go.
Well, it's not going to know.
Right.
You know, and there's a lot of times that it's not going to know where it's at. And, you know, we have people all the times, my lane assist doesn't work at times. It's like, well, it probably can't see the lines on the road.
Right.
Because there's a whole bunch of roads around here that aren't painted properly.
Well, you know, and that's another thing I'd like to ask somebody: would the city and county or state, whoever is marking these roads, It appears to me, after getting involved in these electric car deals over the last year or so, that the types of paint that they're using on these roads and marking the roads, and I notice they're really marking just about everything everywhere in the city now,
mm-hmm.
And some of the county roads, have a brighter type paint than they did in the past. And it seems to me like they're putting some kind of reflectory material in it. I don't know what it was, some kind of little reflector, that would so that it could read,
right.
A computer could read it better than just old plain Jane white and road yellow, you know?
And, they have started putting some reflective elements in with the paint.
Right, I think
For the lettering on the roads. And that's all part of, to make things stick up better.
Yeah.
They probably
outlawed the other stuff, the truth be known.
Yeah, and the systems are, they're coming light years every year, on their advancements and what they can do. GM has basically the same thing with Super Cruise that can keep you in your lane, keep you certain distances from other vehicles and all this kind of stuff, and watch the road ahead of you. Can look for obstacles coming, but there's going to be times you're going to have to take the wheel.
Right. You know? Oh, hell yes. Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Now, you don't need to be taking no damn naps in it, or reading a book
climbing
checking your
back
phone,
seat, taking a nap.
Texting and sending messages on your phone.
Exactly. And we had a text message here just a second ago, which I think we lost it, but it's asking about insurance on electric cars. And, I don't know.
I haven't got that.
I haven't priced that, to be honest with you.
I'll call some people and find out and see what that is.
That'd be good. That's a good question. It's an interesting question for sure, but I haven't really looked at that to see if it is more expensive. But I would think so, you would think.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically they average it over – I don't know however many cars or all the cars that they have that fit that category and what their payout has been, and that's what your insurance is going to be. Because trust me, they're in it to make money.
Oh, so yeah, they're going to make
they're
money.
They're going to figure out how they can.
Let me throw this out to you before we get down to the short rows here.
Mm-hmm.
Paying off the EV premium. While electricity is a cheaper fuel for the cars, the initial cost of an electric car is roughly $19,000 higher than a comparable gas-powered car, according to the National Resources Defense Council.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a quote from the paper now. This is often reduced considerably by manufacturer rebates and a federal tax credit of $7,500.
Mm-hmm.
So that cuts it back right quick. Furthermore, many people opt to lease an EV rather than buy one, and manufacturers offer lease specials that dramatically reduce costs.
Right.
So in his case, he said he found a financing special from Hyundai that allowed him to lease his Kona for $2,000 down and a monthly payment of $254.
Yeah.
I applied for a rebate from the California Air Resources Board, and 2 months later, I received a $2,000 check, effectively reimbursing me my down payment.
Right.
So,
right.
You know.
Yeah. The government's stepping in and trying to encourage people to do it now. Eventually, they won't.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So, hey, it's a good deal if you can get it, for sure.
Well, we
yeah.
Well, we don't really know where all this is get into a trying and entering program here, and
right.
We have no idea what the true figures are going to wind up being. And naturally, there's going to be 50 or 100 different types of cars, so you're going to have 40 or 50 different ways to get in one.
Yeah.
Yep. And then there'll be 40 or 50 different ways to pay for them and all. But it really made me feel good in seeing that the expense of charging them is going to be reasonable. And the fact that they are now getting into a position where they can charge them in an hour, you know?
Yeah.
And it said an hour at a charger, possibly with an older EV whose battery accepts current slowly, would cost about $19. Now, that's to fuel the car up.
Right.
Newer EVs might be in and out in 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That would be unbelievable.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you could recharge it, you know, thing.
Well, and it's all about how well they can keep the charging equipment and batteries cool while
right.
they're charging.
Right, yeah.
You know, so the cars now, or they expect you to be able to charge them faster because the chargers are better. So, you know, I'm sure they've got it set up where it'll be faster, for sure.
Mm-mm.
But anyway, it looks like we've run up to the end of our show. I want to thank everybody for listening to the Car Doctor Show. And everybody, please be careful on the highways and have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
Yes. And for all you veterans and first responders out there, we appreciate your service. We appreciate what you're doing. And a big hoorah to all of you guys and gals. Thank you for what you do. We appreciate your service.